The scripture reading this morning is from St. John's Gospel, the final verses of chapter 15. This is part of what's known as the Last Supper discourse by Jesus, his teaching once the betrayer had gone out into the darkness. So beginning in verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you? No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning.
Well, friends, thank you for the invite to come and speak with you and share with you on behalf of Barnabas Fund. In fact, Barnabas Fund sent us here. You asked Barnabas Fund for a speaker, and Paul Rhodes asked if we would come up here. And it's a privilege to come. And thank you for the welcome and the fun. I like to go to churches where it's fairly relaxed. You know, I didn't know whether to wear a tie, even a jacket, because some churches you go to are very formal and they want jackets and ties, but thank you. Now, I understand you are supporters of Barnabas Fund, and so thank you for those of you that support and give and share. Now, I didn't know that when we came, so we're going to give a simple presentation about Barnabas Fund using their slides in the main. But to begin with, I just want to talk a little about Barnabas Fund, about Scripture. And so could we have the first slide up? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It's a passage about sowing and reaping. Paul says that if we sow, that we will reap, and we need to sow. It's about blessing all people. We're called as Christians to have mercy and to show kindness and to do good to all people. Let me underline that. We're to love them. We love to love the people here. We're to love those who are around us, and we're to do good to them whenever we can, whenever the opportunity comes. I guess all of us, I know I myself, I miss opportunities. All the way through, I think, my life, I go on, oh, I could have said, or I could have done, or I could have whatever, for Jesus, for the Lord, for the gospel, and I didn't. I had the opportunity. But the scriptures say, as we have opportunity. Friends, this week, there will be opportunities for you to show mercy. There will be opportunities for you to speak a word for God. Do you believe that? I'm a chaplain in our town of Aylesbury, and I just do a Friday morning volunteering there, and I nearly always pray on Friday. Well, Coralie and I would pray. Coralie comes in for a coffee, I buy her a coffee, she goes off shopping, I'm left to do the... That's not quite true, but she's not an official chaplain, I'm an official, I wear the jacket. But you know, I often pray, Lord, could I have a divine appointment this morning? Can I recommend to you to pray that prayer? Lord, can I have a divine appointment? Divine appointment is, you know, it's not just meeting a friend, or it's something where God's in it. God plans it. Now, it doesn't happen every week, and a lot of the time I'm speaking to people I'm getting to know in Aylesbury Town Centre, and that's good because there's a conversation going on building up. But as we have opportunity, let's pray for opportunities. But then Paul goes on to say, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, those who belong to the household of God. And that's Barnabas Fund. We are concentrating on those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, simply because so often they are left out in many places in the world. They are the last ones, if ever they get help. They're the last ones. And so, with other organisations, can I say that? There are other organisations, Christian organisations. We're not the only one in this field. But we seek to help those who are Christians. And what Paul says here in this scripture, if you read the whole passage, that we sow to please the Spirit of God, to please God. We can sow to ourselves, we can sow to please our flesh, the Bible says, our own old natures and what we like and what we want and I'd like to, blah, blah, blah. We can sow to ourselves, and that reaps destruction. But if we sow to please God, then that brings life, and it brings life to others. And so he goes on then, let's do good to all, and therefore especially to the family of believers. May I encourage you this week to sow to the Spirit, to sow to please God, not yourself. The scripture reading that was read for us by Kerrigan, 7 times it had the word hate in it. Those who hate us. No, said Jesus, that if they hate you, they did it before to me. They hated me. And they hated me without cause. And Jesus reminds his disciples there and then of a passage that he taught them already before that occasion, that a servant is not greater or above his master. If they do it to Jesus, they'll do it to those who seek to follow him. I don't know whether you've ever met hatred. Have you ever had anyone hate you? I've had it directly by one person a long time ago now, and hatred was just coming out of their eyes towards me. It was quite... But we don't often confront that, or they don't confront us with direct hatred. But here it is in the scriptures, that Christians, those who follow Jesus, if they really follow him, will come up against hatred. That's the scriptures. If they did it to me, said Jesus, they'll do it to you. Without cause. You don't have to do anything. And that's the problem with so many of our fellow Christians around the world in this whole matter of persecution. They don't have to do anything wrong. They don't have to do anything bad. They're just hated because they believe and follow Jesus Christ. And that's pretty awful. Let me just tell you, praise God for this. Amongst all the political, I'm not going into all of that. I won't even mention the word. Jeremy Hunt, our foreign secretary, has raised the whole matter. He is an Anglican. He goes to church. I'm assuming he's a believer. he has presented this before Parliament, the whole matter of persecuted Christians. He's actually said, the community of Christ around them, are almost the forgotten people. He says that in some places it's almost genocide, thinking of the Middle East, genocide, where we could end up with no Christians. I think statistically, it says now there are 245 million persecuted Christians in the world at this present time. 245 million. 300 Christians are martyred every month. That's something like 3,500 to 4,000 a year. And we don't hear most about that. We don't hear about that. Actually, last month it would be more than 300 because there were 250 churchgoers, Christians going in Sri Lanka, were murdered just in that one occasion. So last month it's going to be 600 Christians martyred for their faith last month. We don't hear about that. Did you know that in Nigeria, a place where I've served just a little bit for Tear Fund, you know, now they're being killed by 30s and hundreds in the villages in northern Nigeria, both east and west now, but mostly in eastern Nigeria. And we don't hear about it. It's not on the news. There we are. Can I just mention also, talking about Barnabas Fund, that Barnabas Fund doesn't only work for the persecuted Christians overseas. The founder was Patrick Sukdeo, who comes from a Muslim background, we've known Patrick for years. We had him come and speak at our first church, which was in Hastings. That's many moons ago. It wasn't Barnabas Fund then, and I can't even remember why Patrick came to speak to us. But he's a super theologian, and he's always writing. He's just written a whole book, by the way. It's been serialized in the magazine, and you can take one of these if you've not got one. We've got enough. Well, we've got 50 anyway. But he's actually written a history of the persecution of the Christian church right the way through. It's now in a book form, but it's been serialized. But I want to just mention this. Barnabas Fund, Patrick particularly, is fighting in Britain for religious freedom. We are losing our biblical and historic freedoms, and we're not all Baptists. I know you maybe come from different traditions. Could I say that as Baptist believers, our forefathers in Europe and in Britain fought for religious freedom, gave their lives for religious freedom, were imprisoned and driven in Europe and in Britain for religious freedom. It was our forefathers that won it, the right for anyone to believe, their religion, but especially Christianity. We're losing those. I also pray with Christian Concern. You may know about the young black student in Sheffield University who put on one of his texts somewhere about his belief in traditional marriage between a man and a woman. He'd been driven out of university, which he was studying to be a social worker, and they said that anyone who believes in traditional marriage is unfit to be a social worker, therefore you're not going to be trained. They've thrown him off his course. It's being fought now in the courts to defend that, but that's the kind of religious bigotry that we are under. We're losing our freedoms. The lawyer who defended the university said that even Mother Teresa would not be fit to do a degree in social work in Britain. So Barnabas Fund is actually working in Britain, and one of Patrick's book, Turning the Tide, I've got one or two of those. It's fairly old now, but it's all about religious freedom and seeking to promote religious freedom. No, I've gone on too long. Let's just, Coralie, come up and we'll show some slides quickly. I can go on a bit.
He does go on a bit.
Now, we're going to just run through some of the slides. So how does Barnabas Fund work with the persecuted church? If I come over here, you can see the screen. So we go from Christians, through Christians, to Christians. That's the basic metaphor, or basic program of Barnabas Fund. We like good, you're good folks, support Barnabas Fund. That is then sent to Christians on the job in all the countries where we serve, and then it's to Christians. Now, I think non-Christians will probably benefit as well, because Christians share their neighbours, etc. But that's the methodology we use. Thank you. So what? So do you want to say something?
We don't send people.
We don't go
from Britain to work. It's people in the countries that are needed.
Mm.
So just to read it out for you, basic needs, water, Christian workers, medical care, leadership training, Christian literature, victims of violence, church buildings, small businesses, disaster relief, convert care, and schools. I can't read it. School place.
School
place cost sponsorship.
Partnerships, yeah.
So that's just a quick overview of what we do. So some of the slides will go through this a little bit more detailed. So we're feeding hungry Christians, and there are many. So with monthly food parcels for 1,530 Christian families in Pakistan, £20 per family per month will provide enough food for that family.
And Asya Bibi's family was one of those at one time. As I say, circumstances are changing. Do pray that she'll get, and he and she will get out of Pakistan altogether. But they were on that program. Thank you.
And somebody said, the food program is a blessing for us. We can sleep in peace knowing that our children will not go to sleep on an empty stomach.
Mm, thank you. Beyond our imagination, this is Kashid in Pakistan. It is beyond our imagination that people across seas and hundreds of miles away can send help. But we also know that anything is possible with God. I feel privileged and thank God every second of the day for keeping his word. That's Pakistan as well. Disaster relief.
Now this is when we have found, particularly if you remember right back to the tsunami some years ago now, because it was a Muslim country, after the tsunami the Muslim people got help from their government. The Christians got nothing at all. And one of the first things that Barnabas sent in, I think, were cooking pots and things like that, and cooking oil. So here's Sulawesi in Indonesia, 2018. We gave aid for victims of the earthquake and the tsunami and liquefaction. Anybody know what liquefaction is?
We didn't. We had to look it up.
It's when the land almost turns to water in these big disasters after tsunamis and volcanic eruptions.
And therefore is swept away. There's no possibility of agriculture. The earth goes to liquid and boom.
So there's parcels of aid being delivered.
Mm-hmm. Aid for Christian flood victims in Kerala, India. That again was that tsunami. Same reason, you know, for if you read that persecution of Christians is increasing under Modi, the BJP Nationalist Party is now in control of India. Hinduism is being promoted. And therefore Christians, particularly in certain areas, are under huge pressure and persecution, and some horrendous things going on. And right now, by the way, there's that huge storm that has hit
Kenya.
Not Kenya, but India.
In India again. Well, they've had one, haven't they? But it's
Yes, and I think it's the up the east coast. My mind has gone.
Mozambique had it.
No, not Mozambique. This is right up of India. Orissa, thank you. We knew very well, dear friend, as Dr. Stanley Thomas, BMS missionary, who established the hospital and medical work in Orissa. And we knew Stanley quite well, and he was a very good friend of ours. But they've got a huge flood and tsunami there as well. So it's ongoing, isn't it? Southeast Asia, medical aid and food for persecuted Christians, families in time of drought. So it's both. It's too much water in Mozambique and some of the areas there. Some else is it's just no water at all.
But they don't feel lonely as they face difficulties because they know that many Christian brothers and sisters around the world are praying for them and helping them. So that's a project partner. They're the people who take the money that we send to the people who need it.
Thank you. It helps us to be closer to one another, especially when we face hardship. We pray and care for one another. This is what someone is saying. Even when the non-Christians in the community see that we love and care for one another in the body of Christ, then some of them become attracted to Jesus. That's a project in Southeast Asia. So victims of violence and injustice. Thank you. This is Gelbanda district in Bangladesh, where Christians are attacked and a prophet is burnt and destroyed in churches. And this man says, this is Dijen, I saw a small light that is from Jesus Christ that I will get a place to live. And so thank you. And then I don't know where this money came from, but I bless them who helped me and my children. This is Dijen. And what is it? Phase one, a complete of 48 one-room houses. Just one-room house. Thank you. And phase two in progress, another 50 one-room houses. Each house costs about £1,000 to build. But that's just a one room. Whether that room has running water, I doubt. There's probably a standpipe outside. Whether they have a toilet, I wouldn't like to comment. Probably not. Probably a community long drop may be what's in there. So Myanmar, aid for displaced Kachin Christians. We heard a huge amount in the press and on the television about the Rohingya, the Muslim Rohingyas being persecuted and driven by the Myanmar forces and soldiers, etc. Didn't hear anything about the Christians. The Kachin Christians there, they also have experienced tremendous persecution and displacement, and they're driven. And they don't have anywhere to go. The Rohingya went over into Bangladesh, which is primarily Muslim. But the Kachin Christians, where do they go? It's not so easy for them. And so there's support there. Pakistan medical and other care for victims of church attacks on the 17th of December in 2017. Yeah.
A lot of churches are attacked at special Christmas, special times, Easter and Christmas. And of course it was Sri Lanka was Easter time.
Yeah.
But, this is a ministry to Christian women in prison in Sudan. Sudan is a terrible place. This will be North Sudan, I imagine, not South Sudan. South Sudan is supposed to become more Christian.
But
there's problems there and in fighting again. But North Sudan is just terrible, absolutely terrible. This is Asya Bibi again, and it reminds us housing and monthly food parcel was given to the family. See, most of the family isn't in Pakistan now, but Barnabas, I'm sure, will be helping with finance for getting her out when she's able to leave.
And this is also Pakistan. This is a Christian family in Pakistan. If we could have the next one, please. And that's the father. He's a very happy man. Why is he so happy? Go on. Yes, thank you. One day we took our money from the bank. I went straight to my wife and showed her that this is the money which will be given for our freedom. They are brick kiln workers in Pakistan. The lowest of the low. Working maybe 12 hours. And all the families, some of the kids have to do it. They can't go to school. To make bricks for their Muslim employers. We both thank God that we went with the team, a lawyer and myself, to the supervisor of the brick company. There, the supervisor took our money and gave the receipt. That day was the most miraculous and joyful moment of my and our family's life. I returned home, sat together with my family, and thanked God.
What has been happening is that if they had to get some medicine for their family, they would have to borrow money from the employer to go and get the medicine. And then they were in debt. And it was money was supposed to be paid back from their wages, but it went on, and the debt just built up and built up and built up. And because they didn't earn enough, they could never pay that off. So it's about £1,500 to £2,500.
Varies to what they owe.
But that will pay off the entire debt, and then they are free. And if they choose, they can go on working, of course, but otherwise they go and find another job. But it really... is a huge, huge thing for them.
It's a wonderful thing to set a family free for the first time from debt. It's a wonderful thing to do. Hope for the future. Christian schooling, Christian children. So in some places, if you are a Christian, you can't go to school, or if you do go to school in Pakistan, you get a Muslim education.
Yes. And a little story we read the other day about a child whose father had become a Christian, and he'd shared that he'd become a Christian with his wife and the little girl. I think she was about 7 years old, and went to school, and they were drawing, presumably about the family. And she drew a picture of herself and her parents with a cross. The teacher took her aside, shaved all her hair off, and sent her from the school never to return.
And that's not too bad a persecution, actually, to some situations that we come across. So this is the school in Bethlehem. Perhaps you don't, you know the Christian school of it. You know that it is there, and we support and help support. Not the only ones that support the Christian school in Bethlehem, and it's doing a wonderful work. Thank you. Living Streams, regular giving to persecuted Christians. One of the things about Barnabas Fund, if you're not really aware of it, that you can give your money. You can give it to Barnabas Fund and say use it as you want to, or if you want to, you can choose a project. And here is Barnabas Gifts, and you can choose to give to a particular project. So most of what we said on here, you could give a regular or a one-off gift, and this is the Living Streams. You can give it monthly or whatever. For all the stuff that we've been on here. And so we do really recommend that. If you'd like to pick up one of those, you may do so. This is the latest Barnabas Fund magazine. We've got about 50 of those, and there's about Asya Bibi as well. But this is the Living Streams. Thank you. So self-sufficiency and economic dependence. If you can give a man a fishing rod, he can fish. Is that the quote? I can't quote it.
Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Give him a fishing rod and he can look after himself for the life.
My wife's got a better memory with me.
I'm a bit younger.
She's younger, yes. So it's actually providing training. This is obviously, they're taking an engine apart. Hope they get it back together. But they're learning mechanics, car mechanics, which is tremendous. Corey?
Revolving loans for widows. We know of another group that do the same thing. So they give the money to the widows, and if they can start up a little business and make some money, they will pay the money back in so that other people can be helped as well. So it's a revolving thing going on.
And you may know that in Africa, where we've served quite a bit, if you provide a woman with a task and she can earn money, she will feed her family. She will provide uniforms for them. They can't go to school without a uniform. Uniform would be a jumper and shorts or skirt. Don't know whether it doesn't matter about shoes. Can't go to school without that. The mother will provide that for them. And she can also, if we can provide her with a little business, feed the family. Sadly, and this is the honest truth, give money to the men.
The work to the men.
Or give the work to the men. You know where the money goes? Not every man. That's an exaggeration. But sadly, when we've been in Zambia and other places, even looking after the cows, etc., they give to the girls, not to the boys. Because women will support their families. So, yeah, thank you. This is providing repairs to shops that were, the Christian shops that had been raided and war-torn, to provide employment.
Have you heard as well that many Christians are trying to go back to their homes in Syria?
Yeah.
And homes have been taken over and perhaps sold on again, and they're now Muslim occupied, so they have no homes.
Have no homes. So, okay, so strengthening faith. I'm going to take this opportunity just to say, what's the time? We've mentioned women. Do pray for women in Pakistan and girls and in Egypt and several other Muslim countries. They're under tremendous danger of being kidnapped, forced into Islam, forced into marriage, and therefore raped. And that is going on all the time, particularly, as I say, in Pakistan and in Egypt, Sudan, other places. Pray for Christian women. They are so vulnerable. they're vulnerable because they're Christians, and they're vulnerable because they're women. And we need to pray for those. It's one of the most awful things that happens to these girls. Yes, we must go on, Queer. We're nearly there. Strengthening faith. Radio ministry, so we support radio ministry, preaching the gospel. This is in the North Caucasus. That's that bit below Russia, all the way through the stands, I call them.
Support for pastors, evangelists and church planters. Many of them won't have very much money. They appreciate any support, but pray for them as well.
Thank you. And Kyrgyzstan, training for pastors of small churches. So that's again the North Caucasus, the stands. Uganda, tin roofs for churches in Camp Rhino, making it easy for South Sudanese refugees to worship the Lord. $1,100 for a tin roof. If you've ever worshipped in Africa under tin roofs and it rains, I've been in one service in Kano, no, it was in Jos in Nigeria. The rain was pouring down and the chap carried on preaching. Couldn't hear a word he said because the noise on the tin roof was... But it does give them dry. They are dry and they can worship
God.
But
notice that South Sudanese refugee has gone to Uganda.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Bibles and Christian literature. The Bible dictionary in Kyrgyzstan is a vital tool for church leaders from a Muslim background. So we do give Bibles and Christian literature and training in basic theology. Thank you. So this is just what Barnabas Fund is, and we just go this because we must go through this. So I'll do this one. 471 payments, 409 projects, 65 countries. Thank you.
Feeding, you can see the little yellow dots, that's where we've done most of the feeding.
Thank you.
Education, the red pinky places as well.
Leadership training.
Massive up there.
In Russia,
north, yeah.
In Russia. Victims of violence. Thank you. Literature, again, a huge amount in China, in Russia.
Church buildings.
Again in Russia.
Small businesses. India particularly there, and convert care, that's because many Muslim converts who've become Christians have gone to America.
And that's why that bit is on the left there, because
so
we support them there.
A lot of support needed for new converts.
And of course, therefore, Asya Bibi, though I think she'll get to Canada when she gets there, they need support to get established, so that's why we support over there. So, digging of wells, thank you.
Feeding
programs, 70,000 odd.
Education, 14,000 odd.
Yes, keep going. 15,000 odd. 457 full-time Christian workers. Thank you. Convert support, 1,000.
19,700 victims of violence.
And water projects, 250.
Individuals helped with small businesses. 5,200 medical projects. 12,000 supported disaster victims. 82
church buildings,
yes,
thank you.
And all that Christian literature. That's all just been funded in 1 year from Christians, through Christians, to Christians.
So what can you do? You can feel, you can pray, you can speak, you can give. Now, I'll be honest with you, if you do use this, and I recommend you to use it inside, there's a 2 monthly, it spans 2 months, prayer diary with a prayer for each day for the persecuted church. I tell you what, it's challenging to read and pray for some of this every day because it's tough. It's really tough.